Amen. All right, man, I'm so excited to be with you guys. My name is Nathan Healy, and I'm one of the student pastors here at Beltway. And man, just as we were worshiping this morning, I was just being overwhelmed with thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us. And, you know, even as we were just singing a couple of those songs, I was just like, you know, I took a moment to just take communion, and God was just pouring out his love on me. And I pray that he's doing the same for you this morning. And I love gathering together in this time where we just get to worship God together, you know, and just jump in and say, God, what do you have for me? What are you leading me in this morning? You know, one thing that we say in Beltway students, like I said, I'm one of the student pastors, is this phrase called turn up. All right, so I want to teach it to y'all real quick. So turn up just basically means like, I'm here to turn up and go after everything that God has for us this morning. Are y'all with me on that? Are y'all ready to turn up? Some of you are a little skeptical. It's okay, we'll get there together. I want to share this story about a lady named Becky. And she's somebody who has meant a lot to me, and I'm just very thankful for the relationship that I've had with her, just getting to see her follow Jesus. And the way that I got to know her was about a year and a half ago. I gave her a call because I heard that she had cancer. And so me and a couple of the prayer team here at Beltway, we reached out to her, you know, and we just kind of had a phone conversation where we got to know her. And she's one of those people who, like, after 2 minutes of talking to her, she's like your best friend. You know what I mean? Anybody know somebody like that? And so we were just talking, and she's just like so encouraging, so full of joy. And then the conversation got pretty heavy, and she started to share about how she's battling cancer, and it's not looking good, and it's spreading. And then she started to just get emotional as she described and said over and over, like, I just want God to heal me so I can be here for my babies. You know, she has several kids. She has a son in his 20s and a daughter who's 8, and then a son who's 7 and a daughter who's 3. And so she was just crying out to God, like, God, I just want more time on this earth because I want to be their mom, you know? And my heart broke. You know, and on that phone call that day, I just jumped in with her and crying out to God and just saying, God, would you move in Becky's life, you know? Would you heal her? Would you do a miracle? Because I want her to, you know, see her kids grow up. And, you know, that phone conversation really moved me, and it started a relationship where we would pray and just keep standing in faith for God to move, like whether it was on Sunday mornings after service during the prayer time that we have at the front, or whether it was a phone call, just checking in to see how she was doing. We just kind of kept this relationship of just praying and seeking God together. And over this time of knowing her and fighting cancer and being a part of this battle, like, I really zoned into her faith. And I just watched the way that she stood and took faith in God during in the midst of this really tough trial. Like, there were some times when we would pray together and she would be like, so just like, oh yes, like, God is good. It's easy to follow him today. It's easy to stand in faith. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm just believing God, but I'm also trusting him. But then there were days that we would pray together and she would just be like, man, to be honest, like, I'm just overwhelmed today, you know, just with the fear of losing my kids and the fear of what cancer can do and all the outcomes and all the possibilities, you know, and just this journey of faith. And it was crazy. She just kept walking with Jesus, you know, and as she walked with Jesus during the tough stuff, he kept lifting her up. Like, she got the word that the doctors were saying she probably just has a couple more weeks to live. So me and Paul, who's another student pastor here, we drove out to her house, and, you know, we were like, man, come on, let's just keep believing God and just seeking him and asking him to do a miracle. And so we get there, and we started off this time just by saying, we want to take a minute to ask the Holy Spirit, what is he leading us to pray for? You know, what is he speaking? And so as we took a minute to just ask him, we asked Becky, all right, you know, what's God putting on your heart? And I will never forget her response for the rest of my life, you know. She's sitting there, and the doctors have given her a couple weeks, and she just looks at me, and she says, Nathan, this isn't going to make much sense. But I'm so filled with thankfulness right now. You know, she's like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm so thankful that Jesus died for me, you know. And I'm so thankful that even if I'm not here to raise my kids, like, God is going to fill in the gaps. He's going to give my husband what he needs and my family what they need, you know. And she was like, I'm just so thankful because even if I don't see healing here on earth, like, I'm going to be with Jesus forever and I will experience his healing, you know. And that just really moved me. Because in this moment where she had every reason to say anything but that, right, basically, she's just walking in faith with Jesus, and he's lifting her up, and he's showing her things and taking her to places. And as I was there with her in that moment at her house with some of her family praying for her, this question came up, and I've been thinking about it since, and I want to bring this question before us this morning. How can I have faith like Becky? How can I have faith like Becky? Something I've been thinking about. How can I have this kind of faith? As you're here this morning, how can we have this kind of faith? Like when we go through tests, you know, when I look back at some of the tests I've gone through, like I haven't gone through something that intense. I've gone through different tests. All of us in this room have gone through tests and are going to go through more tests. And as I look back at the tests I've gone through, like, I don't have the greatest track record, you know? It's not like I've passed every spiritual test with flying colors. Like, I look back and sometimes I'm like, man, I really didn't lean on God through this, you know? Okay, like, there's sometimes where I walked out of a test thinking, man, I'm not even really close to God, you know? You just get distracted or you try to, you know, fix the problem in your own strength. But how can I have faith like Becky, where in the midst of a test, she leaned on God, and I just saw this crazy amount of faith produced in her? You know, I want to face trials, and I know that the reason why we're here together as a church family, we want to grow in faith. We want to face trials and not just make it, but be filled with life that only comes from the Spirit, you know? Be filled with joy so that we can lead the people around us closer to Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to look at somebody in the Bible who had a really major faith test, Abraham. And it's the story of Abraham and Isaac. So you can flip to Genesis 22, and we're going to be starting in verse 1, Genesis 22 in verse 1. And so, you know, Abraham had really deep faith like Becky, and he's mentioned in Hebrews 11 being in the hall of faith, like this list of, you know, fathers of the faith that were just like, went through all these different things, but they stood trusting God no matter what the circumstances looked like. You know, Abraham's a pretty big deal, and God gave Abraham a promise, right? A lot of us know this, that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars, which is a lot, you know, and that they would become God's people and his nation, which is an incredible promise. And then in Genesis 22, this passage that we're about to read, that God leads Abraham on this journey, and it's a major faith test for him. And what's crazy about this story is we've been talking about it, David's been talking about it the last couple weeks, is, you know, in this story, Jesus actually jumps into the story and does something crazy. So we're going to start reading in Genesis 22, verse 1. And it says this, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of these mountains of which I shall tell you. So God tested Abraham. That was what it said in verse 1. And it's a big test, right? Because he's telling him to go sacrifice his son. You know, like sometimes we read these stories and maybe some of us have grown up hearing this story, you know, as you grew up and you've heard it several times, but if you really think about it, that's an pretty intense ask, right? To take your son up on this mountain and sacrifice him. And not just his son, but the son who his promise of all these descendants as numerous as the stars is going to come through, right? This is a huge ask. And as I was reading this passage, I just, you know, the question came to my mind, like, why would God ask Abraham to do something this intense? Because it's like, he's a pretty good Christian, right? Like, he's a pretty good, like, you know, follower of God, like pretty faithful. He's like a good guy. Why would God ask him to go through a test like this? Now, think about, just for a minute with me, think about tests, like school tests, okay? Which I know is not popular with some of us. Like for me, when I start talking about tests, I have flashbacks. God help me. You know what I mean? Getting stressed out. And like, I used to put a lot of pressure on myself for grades. So like, my whole future is riding on this test, you know, like different things like that. And y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. But, you know, there's some of us in here that when we talk about tests, you're like not really a big test guy like me. But then there's some of us in here that you love tests. Like you wake up in the morning and like your time in school was like, you just loved it. Like that's my wife. She finished, she got like her undergrad and she went to pharmacy school and she graduated. And like a week later, she was like, I just want to go back to school. Like, I just love school. I love tests. I was like, you're a different kind of human than me. Like, and you know, I'm not a big test fan, but tests show what you have and what you don't have. Meaning like you can come in a class and be like the perfect student, bring an apple polished up every day, participate in class discussion. You can look like an amazing student. But then a test comes and that's like a get real moment, right? That shows you what you have and what you don't have. Like the truth comes out of where you're at. And believe it or not, if we kind of rewind the story of Abraham, Abraham didn't have the best track record with tests. Like he had failed several tests leading up to Genesis 22. Like when he went into these different nations, he met a couple kings and they were wanting, you know, they noticed that his wife was beautiful. So he lied and he was like, hey, this isn't really my wife. And he did that several times just to cover his tail so that they wouldn't come after him and kill him to take her as their wives, you know? This guy who's the man of faith, who's leading, you know, and his descendants are going to become the nation of Israel, like God's people. He's just covering his own tail and not standing up and taking the lead and trusting that God's going to protect his family. Or, you know, when God gave Abraham that promise of having all the descendants, like there was a major problem, right? It was that Abraham and Sarah were old and they couldn't have kids. You know, and the way that Abraham deals with that is he's like, man, this is kind of, it's not likely, but his heart is like, but I want to trust God, you know? And he's like, okay, it's not like, I mean, we're old in age. This wouldn't normally happen, but I want to have faith and trust God. And he tries to, but then Sarah, you know, says, hey, why don't you sleep with my maidservant and we can make this happen. You know, we can have the son and fulfill this promise. And so he goes outside of resting and having faith and waiting for God to provide his son. And he makes his own way. Like Abraham failed some faith tests. And I know that I've had some of these moments when I thought I really believed in God and I really was standing in faith. Then I went through a test and it was like a get real moment. Can anybody relate to that? Like, okay, wow. You know, it's humbling, honestly. But these are special moments. And if you have almost like hit a brick wall in the last couple weeks, I just feel like somebody's here that you like hit a brick wall in the last couple weeks and you're kind of got knocked on your, you know, bottom. And you're like, man, I'm not where I thought I was with God. I want you to hear this morning, that God is not somebody that's going to cast you out and say, failure, get it together, go to church more, you know, do more good things to build yourself back up. He's like, he's your heavenly Father who loves you. And when we fail these tests, these are huge moments, because he'll come down and if we allow him to, he'll pick us up, take us in and just say, come on, son or daughter, just walk with me. I'll fix it. I will fill you with faith. I will build you up. But come and focus on me. Walk with me. And that's how our faith is produced. It's pretty special. It's a relationship with God, a real relationship. And so that's what Abraham does. He fails over and over, but he keeps getting up, walking with God. And so then the story continues in verse 6, where Abraham and Isaac arrive at the mountain. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You know, Isaac's like, what's going on here? And so Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And so Abraham's standing here declaring God's gonna provide, right? He's standing in faith as he's going through this trial. So let's keep reading. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. You know, like I said, I mean, it's a Bible story maybe a lot of us have heard, but put yourself in this moment. Like, this is a huge test. He's taken out the knife to slaughter his son. You know, and I don't exactly know what was going through Abraham's mind in the moment, but I would guess there was like a lot of emotions or thoughts that he was having. Like, maybe he was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is about to get real. Like, in theory, yeah, I'm gonna follow God to the end, but do I really have the faith to trust God to actually carry this out as he's holding the knife, you know, looking down at his son? You know, this is a huge moment. Maybe he starts to look back to his past at all the times he's failed, right? We do that sometimes. And he's just looking at it and he's like, I'm a failure. Like, I didn't stand up to those tests in the past. How am I gonna have the faith to stand and pass this test? And maybe he's thinking, let's pack it up and go home. Like, I just don't have the faith. Like, I just can't do this. You know, but he pressed forward in faith. And as he tied up his son and laid him down on the wood, and, you know, and he was getting the knife and he's going through that wrestle and maybe asking the questions that some of us have asked, like, is God really with me? Is he really gonna provide? Is he really gonna come through? But then, at the perfect time, at the perfect moment, Jesus shows up. Ooh, and this is where I'm starting to get pumped right now. The last couple weeks, that's what we've been talking about, is these Christophanies, where these appearances of Jesus, and we've seen that Jesus actually appears even before Christmas, even before the New Testament. He has these different appearances in the Old Testament, and this is one of them. It says in verse 11, we'll keep reading in verse 11. But the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, talking about Jesus, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And then we'll keep reading. And he, talking about Abraham, said, here I am. And then Jesus said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Woo! It's getting me excited. The Lord will provide. You know, it's just crazy to think about this story and the imagery and the foreshadowing that it gives us for our faith in what Jesus did for us in the cross, right? This verse, John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Man, that is such a powerful truth, that just like God provided the ram as a sacrifice for Isaac. All of us in this place, we deserve death because of our sin, because we fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross and rose again. He was the sacrifice that took your place. He was the sacrifice that took my place so that I can not just, you know, attend church, not just label myself as a Christian, but did you see what John 1:12 says? But so that I can become his child, his son or daughter, that I can have this relationship with him that's real, and I can walk with him. And Jesus did that for us on the cross. The Lord will provide. So I just want to say that to, you know, wherever you're at in your life this morning. Maybe you're in a trial. Maybe things are really intense. Maybe things are pretty good. Maybe you're standing and asking for God to provide for someone else, you know, or one of your kids. But come on, we see this truth all throughout Scripture. In this story with Abraham, the cross, that God is giving himself in providing for us to make a way. And so, you know, when I look ahead to my life and I'm like, dude, you know, I think about different trials and different things that I'm going to go through. There's such a deep confidence that I can rest in and saying, God provided for them. He provided on the cross. He's provided for me before. He is going to provide. It's who he is. So my job, our job, is that we would walk with him, you know? That we would have relationship with him, that we would be connected with him, and then he provides what we need when we need it. So, I, on a different note, like, I can relate to this story about Abraham as a parent, okay? I don't know if we got any parents in the house. Whoop, whoop, give yourself a shout out this morning. But I've got 3 kids under the age of 5, and, you know, I feel like sometimes in my life, like, every day is a test. I don't know if any other parent has felt that before. But, you know, like, I want to be an awesome dad and lead my kids. And I don't just want to lead them and be like, hey, here's all the things you need to do. Be a good person, you know. I want to lead them as an example of, like, I get this opportunity to show, you know, not the perfect image, but a picture of the Father's heart for them. I feel that weight in that opportunity as a dad. I get to show them his love and say, look, I love you so much, but your heavenly Father, he loves you even more. I want this relationship with you, but he wants a relationship even more, you know, and I just get pumped thinking about being a dad, you know. But even though I'm passionate about it, like, I've failed a lot of dad tests, you know, and like I said, like, with my kids being pretty young, I feel like I get tested a lot. Like, a couple weeks ago, I got home from work, and I just had a lot on my mind, and I was like, you know, I was with the kids, hanging out with them, but I wasn't really with them. You know what I mean? I wasn't really present. And they were running around, doing kid things, like biting me, you know, kneeing me in the stomach repeatedly with their pointy knees and elbows. They're so pointy. They have to, like, sharpen them or something. I don't know. But, you know, and it's just, it's like a little bit of chaos, and I'm like trying to be present, but I'm not really present. I have all this stuff on my mind. And so then my daughter comes around the ottoman and, like, hip checks my son into the wall, you know, and he just, like, crumples to the ground, and he's like, meh, you know, he's just crying. And in that moment, I failed as a dad, because instead of having patience, and instead of trying to understand the situation, which it was an accident, it's not like she just, you know, she does sometimes hurt him on purpose, but this time was an accident. And, you know, but instead of that, you know, I did not act in patience. I snapped and yelled at her, you know? And I just look at that moment and I'm just like, as a dad, as a parent, I feel really weak, you know? I just feel like, I need God. I can't do this in my own strength. But as I'm walking with Jesus, I'm not doing it perfectly. Like I said, I'm failing dad tests. But he's providing what I need to be able to lead my kids to him and be the dad that I want to be, that he's called me to be, you know? And so I'm weak, and I can't be a godly dad in my own strength, and I need more faith to be able to walk this out. And as I walk with God, you know, I've already experienced this, and I know that I will in the future. As I walk with him, he provides the faith that I need to be that dad for my kids. And so we'll throw this up there, that Jesus will provide faith as we stay close to him in a daily relationship. A daily relationship. You can circle that, star it, or you could not if you're like super type A and you like everything clean. Either way. But like, so what does this look like practically? What does it look like to walk with God in a daily relationship? Because probably literally everyone in this room can relate to me in saying, a lot of my days are busy, like pretty hectic, like a lot of things going on. Like I was talking with some seniors in high school, you know, because I'm a youth pastor, and I was talking with them, and they were saying, man, you know, each day feels like I'm getting pulled in a million directions, and it's hard to just walk with God, just be with him, because there's always things on your mind, you know, and so it's like, how do we do this? One thing for me is I ask myself in the morning, do I realize my need for God today? Do I realize my need for God today? Because if I don't, I'm gonna do things in my own strength. But as I go throughout the day, and I'm doing things in my own strength and I'm failing, you know, then I just take a step back and I'm like, God, I need you, you know? Help me realize that I need you. Stop looking to Nathan. He doesn't do that good. I need you. So maybe that's something you can start doing. One of the things we're doing in Beltway Students is we're reading through the New Testament in a year. So we have 6th through 12th graders reading through this Bible reading plan. And it's been really cool because they come and we talk about it in groups each week. And, you know, we base different sermons around what we're reading that week. And I was at a school lunch and I was at a table of 6th grade girls, okay? Me and Paul were there, like 6 or 7 6th grade girls. And we were just reading the Bible, you know, during lunch. It was awesome. And it was so loud in there. Oh, my gosh. I was literally I was yelling to the girl next to me. Anyways, 6th graders are loud, especially if you put hundreds of them in a small room. So we're reading 1 Peter, and she, you know, it talks about how in Christ, because of the work he's done in us, we have everything we need to live in godliness through his power. You need to read 1 Peter if you have it. And so she's like, hey, yesterday I was reading this verse in 1 Peter, and this 6th grade girl was like, I'm just asking God to fill me with his power so I can live in godliness. I'm just asking God to stir up my heart to reach the people around me at school. Woo. I was like, maybe I should pray for that kind of stuff too. You know what I mean? 6th grade girl. So here's some things that can help us walk with Jesus, reading the word, just like I talked about what we're doing with Beltway Students, reading the word, read the word. I encourage you to spend time with God, reading his word consistently, and make it like a conversation. Like as you read some, talk with God about it, and leave room for the Holy Spirit to highlight things and speak to things that you can really focus on throughout the day. Another thing I want to encourage you with is meet with other believers. God uses believers to encourage us to go after him. Like me and my wife are in a life group, and there's several people from our same life group that are here this morning. And, you know, the last series we did, Restful Life, it was such a special time where we just all came together. And, you know, a lot of our discussions during that time were talking about, are we living in chair 1 or 2? Like, are we really walking as God's sons and daughters in chair 1 and being filled up with his love so we can give it out to other people? And we all just came together and we were basically like, we're all falling short. You know what I mean? But together, just being real with where we were at, it was cool to see what God did in that group of stirring up life and encouragement to go after him. So that's what happens in groups. And I want to encourage you, as you look at next year and look at getting plugged into a group, I just want to encourage you, if you're not in one, to really make that a priority. And then another thing is worshiping God. I try to worship God as I go. Worship isn't just singing songs on Sundays. It's lifting your focus up off the stuff you have to do and placing it on Jesus. And, you know, one way you can do this is read a psalm. So just pick a psalm read through it, and it tells you who God is, and then start thanking God for who he is, you know? Doesn't have to be very much. And I try to do this as I go throughout the day, where I lift my eyes up off of all the things I have to do and place them on Jesus and just start thanking him for who he is and what he's doing in my life. These are some things that help us walk in a daily relationship with Jesus. And as we walk with him, faith is produced inside of us. So just to finish this morning, I want to finish this story about Becky. Remember, Becky had cancer, and me and Paul went over to her house to pray, and she was just speaking of thankfulness, overflowing with thankfulness, and God was speaking that to her. So then fast forward a couple weeks after that moment, Becky got news that she just had a couple days left. Okay, and so here's a picture of Becky worshiping. This is her right here in a wheelchair. And that was her last Sunday at Beltway Park Church. And this was just a picture that we showed when I was doing her funeral. And just going back to this moment when I was watching her worship, you know, that morning, her last morning at Beltway Park, her 7-year-old son got baptized, and she got to see him get baptized, you know. And I went to the back when the whole family got there, and I was like, you know, I was expecting them to come in that morning. Like, yeah, it was exciting he was getting baptized, but I was really expecting them to just be super heavy, right? I mean, wouldn't you expect that? To just be sad. And they come in, and I'm like, what's happening? I'm like looking around, I'm like, they're filled with joy. I'm not making this up. They're filled with peace. They're just, like, they're overflowing with the life that God has for us that we read about in the Bible, but it was happening in front of my eyes. And I was just looking at them, like, just kind of getting overwhelmed. And then I see her worshiping, and I felt like God said, go over and tell Becky that I'm proud of her. That I'm proud that she's just been walking with me faithfully through this trial. You know, and I'm crying, and I'm telling her this, and I'm just like, God, you know, like I said in the beginning, help me have faith like Becky. Come on. Help me not get distracted by the things in this world that aren't going to last. Help me zone into God on another level and walk with him in a deeper relationship so that I can know him for real. And so that as I walk with him, this kind of faith can be produced in me, not just for me, but for my family, for my kids. I don't know what we're gonna face in the days to come, but I wanna be ready. I don't have time to mess around. Come on, God. Like, I'm praying that this morning. God, take me to a deeper place of faith. I wanna know you deeper. I wanna experience your life. And a couple days after Becky passed away, they had the viewing. And I was talking with her family, and it was like the same thing. It was like Eric, her husband, was just telling me, he was like, I've just been so stirred up to go after God because of the faith that I saw in Becky, you know? And he wasn't just getting crushed. You know, it's been really hard, but God's been doing things and stirring up faith in him. And even I had lunch with him a couple weeks ago, and he was like, man, he's like, I just want to, you know, I've been getting stirred up to just reach the people on the oil rig that I work at, you know? And I'm just thinking, this is crazy stuff, you know? In the midst of this hard stuff, this heavy stuff going on in their life, we're seeing God produce this faith that just is amazing and incredible, you know? So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. I want us to just respond this morning, and, you know, wherever you're at, you know, if you're just saying the same thing that I was just yelling, you know, that I want this kind of faith. God, take me in a deeper relationship with you so that I can have faith like Becky and Abraham and Eric and all these people we've talked about this morning. And if that's you, I just want you to have that conversation with God right now, just between you and him. Nobody else can take you to this place of faith. Not your good works, you know, not a sermon, not worship. Only Jesus can take you there. So just ask him, God, take me deeper in faith. And I felt like there's a couple people that you feel the weight of life on you. And maybe recently you've said, I'm just existing. I feel like God's just extending this invitation to you of like, just come to me if you're weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. So just take a moment to draw near to him. Just come to him, you know? Maybe it's been so heavy and you've been so distracted you haven't come to him with that weight. Do it right now. And if you're facing a tough test and you feel like you're out of faith, you're just like sitting there, you're like, I don't know if God's gonna provide. I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. I just felt like God wanted to come and lift a couple people up that are in that spot, like that you would actually feel him lifting you up and filling you with faith this morning. And the last one is, if you view yourself as a failure in your relationship with God because of past tests that you failed, come on. That's right where the enemy wants you. You know? He just wants you to stay down and not get back up so you can't experience what God has for you. But the cross says that it's paid for, and that because of what Jesus has done, you can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. So just take a moment, and maybe you just want to talk to God here and just receive that free gift that Jesus died on the cross to give you. Take a moment to do that. And God, we all just come to you this morning. We're thankful for this time, you know, to have church where we just get to come together as believers, worship you, lift up your name. And Lord, I ask that as we looked at your word this morning, that you would produce faith in us to really know you and walk with you. Faith that when we stand up to different tests and trials, like, it'll just look crazy, the type of joy and peace that we have, like Becky and Eric and Abraham. And so we're thankful for that faith that we only have in you, God. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen and amen.